Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome, everyone. Buenos dias to another episode of Cooking in Mexico from A to Z. I'm your host, Aaron Sanchez, alongside my beautiful mother,
Sarela Martinez.
Outstanding. And then, you know, I didn't think we could find a bigger chingona than my mom, but I just think we found one, okay? And this lovely lady is Bricia Lopez. We know each other for a long time. She, Mexican-American restaurateur and author. She's born in Mitla, Oaxaca, which is a beautiful place. She's the co-owner of Quelaguetza, one of the best Oaxacan restaurants in L.A., and I think in the country, started by her father in 1994. It's just been recognized as an absolute staple in L.A., but also for bringing forward the flavors of Oaxaca. And we're very blessed to have Bricia with us today. And the focus of our conversation is going to be about Oaxacan ingredients. I've spent a lot of time there. Obviously, my mom, her second cookbook is all dedicated to the food and life of Oaxaca. And then, Bricia, you have just taken it to the next level. So we're very interested to hear about your current projects, what you've been doing, how you're promoting Oaxacan food and culture. So welcome, everyone, with Bricia Lopez.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Oh, thrilled to meet you, Sarela. Mm-hmm. I've heard so wonderful things about you. You've really raised beautiful children. And, you know, you have really put Oaxaca on the forefront, even before my dad came into this country. I mean, you had your cookbook. And I love the passion and love that you and your family have for our little state. So thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
Well, I've been living in Bricia world now for a week or 10 days ever since I've known that you were going to join us.
Well, it's a good world to be in, I'll tell you that, lady.
Yeah, I mean, I have been studying all your accomplishments, all your projects. We want to talk about it. I am blown away by your book.
Oh,
first
thank
of all,
you.
The quality of paper that you used. You must
thank
have paid for
you.
It yourself because it is beautiful. It really is different from other books because you have a lot of the step-by-step procedures,
yeah,
which is wonderful. And nobody's really focused on home cooking with that name, even though most of us did home cooking, but mm-hmm. we didn't list it like that. So I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. You know, Aaron and I have the same publishing, I think, Abrams, who was the one that published our book. So, I'm just very happy that they were really, you know, really open to my ideas and just really brought my vision to life. And I'm so happy you like it. You know, we worked so hard on it. And just to see it in so many people's homes, it just like, just lifts my heart up with joy.
That's it. What else are you working on right now besides that, if it wasn't enough?
What am I working on? I'm working on raising two children right now. I'm working on trying to make life work in the middle of chaos. I'm trying to run a couple businesses from home with an almost six-year-old and a seven-month-old. And I am just trying to focus on just growing our brand here in Los Angeles. I am right now, I'm not really getting myself into any new projects. I just really want to like hone into what I have and grow what I have. You know, we have an online store. If anyone can actually, let me plug in our online store really quick, store.ilovemole.com. And that is where you can get all of our food products. We have our mole jars. We have chiles. I know it's really difficult sometimes for people to get a hold of, you know, things like avocado leaves and chile pasilla mije. So we sell those in our store. And then we have our michelada mix. I know I don't love himself a good michelada morning breakfast. So we have the best mix I would like there to stay in the country, and you can order that online as well at ilovemicheladas.com. So just really focusing on our food products and, you know, getting these ingredients to people and just taking care of my peeps in my restaurant, you know. Thankfully, we're open for outdoor dining again.
I understand that it's sort of a cultural center for Oaxacans in L.A., and that people join there. Do you celebrate any of the Oaxacan traditions, like, you know, like el pedimento?
Yes, all year long. You know, it's so beautiful. You know, we are going on our 27th year of Galaguetza being open. My dad opened it in 1994. So we're going on our 27th year this summer.
I graduated high school in 94. Okay, what do you say? Just to show you how old.
Oh, so did my husband. My husband graduated high school in 94 too.
Okay, anyway.
I graduated elementary in 95. So I tell him, he's like, all right.
Well, I graduated from high school in 1966. From the same school that my mom graduated.
It's just all about how you identify as. I identify as a 25-year-old. So there you go.
Me too.
And my dad and my mom always really put our traditions at the forefront of the restaurant. So, you know, this is 26 years ago, 27 years ago, the restaurant always put an altar on Altar de Muertos, or, you know, we celebrate the Galaguetza. My dad put together a huge Galaguetza celebration for like 10,000 people showed up. Another year, 20,000 people showed up. So he was the president of the Oaxacan Federation when he lived in Los Angeles. You know, I remember at some point, people would call the restaurant and would ask me like, hey, do you know where I can get a copy of my birth certificate? I'm from Oaxaca. And I was like, I don't know, man. This is a restaurant. But we really had the answers, and we had great relationships with you know, with the consulate, with the government, and just, it just became like a cultural hub. Obviously it has evolved, you know. Now, you know, my parents now live in Oaxaca, they're retired. I run the business with my siblings, with my sister, with my brother. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun together, the three of us. And it's just
how do you get along?
Oh, we love each other. We're like best friends. Yeah. I mean, when we were kids, like there was a lot of beatdowns, like actual physical fights. But a lot of hair pulling, a lot of biting, a lot of kicking and screaming. But no, not anymore. We're grown.
We want to focus a lot on the market and on your mail order thing, because this program is about ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do you have your mole made in Oaxaca?
Of course. There's no other place. You know, I feel like it should be a denomination of origin. I always, I love looking at just Italian food and their history and how they were able to really, you know, really transcend that like sort of Italia and Italy branding onto their food in this country. And you look at Sammarzano tomatoes or tomatoes, whatever you want to call them. And people just go crazy over them. Like, oh, the best tomatoes and the best olive oil and the best this is like, right? And I think I just really lean on that. And I always tell people, well, if you're going to have mole, make sure it's from Oaxaca. If you're going to have chiles, make sure it's from Oaxaca. So it, you know, if you're going to make tortillas from masarina, which is super easy to make. I always tell people making tortillas out of masarina, it's way easier than making pancakes in the morning. Like it's flour, water, done. Like cook it, roll it out, or press it on tortilla press. You have yourself a fresh tortillas.
Are you using some of the native corn?
Yes. So we partner with a great company, and we bring Oaxacan heirloom corn. We use it at the restaurant as well. I mean, we've been doing our own tortillas and, you know, our own masa since day one. So we've really honed down on the process. And our mole or mole paste is not it's like a base. We don't really sell the mole already made. It's like a little paste. All you have to do is just add chicken broth, tomato sauce, you know, a little bit of brown sugar, salt, and then your mole is done.
But kind of the way you would find it in the Mercado Central de Abastos in the city of Oaxaca, you would find all the paste. And so people at home, when they travel to Oaxaca and understand the beauty of the mercados, you will see that. So you're bringing that to market, correct?
Yes, Lisa? Yes. So right? If you look at our online store, we have, and our chiles, I think Oaxaca has just like an immense amount of diversity when it comes to chiles and spices and herbs. And I think that's really what makes our cooking so special. Things like avocado leaves that people just, is this flavor that, you know, if you're from Oaxaca or you've visited Oaxaca, you know, you're going to any place and you have, you know, frijoles and you're like, oh my gosh, like, what is this flavor that's so different? Like, I've never tasted this before. And I always tell people that's usually two things. Either it's hierba santa or it's avocado leaf. Like, those are the two herbs that are, or poleo is the third one that people from Oaxaca just really, really, really like. We overuse it, but we just love it. And hierba de conejo is like another one. It's kind of like a wild time.
Do you sell pipicha?
What's that?
Pipicha, which is like a really, like a kind of really grassy, wonderful.
Yeah, pipicha. Oh, pipicha. Oh, yes. We do. Yeah, we have those too. Especially you have those with like carne asada. So good. We call it chipichins. Yeah. In Oaxaca, we call it chipiche. Yeah.
And the great sopa, the chipil, right, Mom?
Chipil.
Which is
classic. The same.
Not the same? Yeah, classic.
Chipil, chepiche, sopa de guías con chepiche. And I think it's like, here's the wonderful thing also, people from Oaxaca, people always say, they always joke, like, people from Oaxaca are so complicated that they even wrap their cheese around in a ball. Because we change everything. All the names are all changed. Like, we don't call the tortillas. We call them clayudas. And all of Mexico, cecina is beef. In Oaxaca, it's pork. Like, our cecina in Oaxaca is tasajo. Like, we change everything. Yeah. Like, we're not, it's like you enter into a whole other world of cooking.
Yeah, especially, you know, because over here in the United States, it's very hard to make the traditional bread, the traditional you know, tlayudas, because nothing tastes the same as it does in Oaxaca. So how do you handle that in your store?
Well, at Galaguetza, at our restaurant, we import a lot of ingredients. So like I said, like our chiles, we make sure we always cook with chile pasilla mije. Like, there's no denying. Our chile rellenos are made with chiles de agua, and we import those from Oaxaca as well. And chiles de agua are just really, you know, they're from Oaxaca. You can find them anywhere else in Mexico, in the country.
And the other one is a chihuacle negro, which is hard to find as well, to make the mole negro.
We have that on our
We try to make it at my restaurant, but we can barely get the chile. And it's expensive.
No. It's better to import the mole already made.
It's consuming. It's time. And, you know, it's a lot of chiles, a lot of ingredients to source and find. Which is why it's like, if you don't want to spend, you know, a couple hours in the kitchen, just 10 minutes and you're done with the.
But it's part of also teaching, you know, the cooks and the chefs for me, I mean, personally. But I think as we're talking about mercados and markets, I think let's talk a little bit, ladies, about the idea of how they have rotating markets in different towns and pueblos in Oaxaca and how interesting that is.
The tianguis.
Sunday is always La Colula. On Monday, oh my God, I have them on a little cheat sheet. I don't have my cheat sheet with me, but you have like the Sachila market, like the
one in your hometown, Mitla.
Mitla, of course.
And Sachila has that wood market.
Yeah, well, you know, also
Teotitlan del Valle.
Teotitlan's mercado, actually, it's like on a daily in the morning. Yeah. And it's one of the cleanest, most beautiful, put together, organized, like, so, like, I love going to Teotitlan's market. Like, it's so absolutely beautiful. Ocotlan's market has like this where you go to the livestock market and you can actually like, you can see people buying livestock, and then you on the side, like, you know, they it's like a open air, like you get your carne asada. Ocotlan has a beautiful market too. I think that's like on a Friday or on a Thursday. Etla's market also beautiful.
Yeah, I like the Etla one. Do you know that Sachila has a wood market?
Sachila? Oh, I think it's like when you were in Oaxaca, like, when you're out of Oaxaca and you find yourself someone from Oaxaca, you're like, oh, paisano. But when you're in Oaxaca, if you're from Sachila, you're from Sachila. Like, you're not Oaxacan. You're like Sachileno. Or you're from Mitla, you're like Mitleño. So it's like everyone has their own little, like, we're very proud people of, like, sort of like our origins and where people come from. And Sachila is one of those, like, towns that I absolutely love and adore.
Well, tell us about your mezcal.
So you come from a long line of mezcaleros. Is that the case? Or somebody in your family makes it?
Just like Aaron Sanchez, I have mezcal running through my veins 24/7. So
it's funny that you mentioned that. What is the toast? It's called Chichibiguayo. What's it called? What is the
My whole family, like my grandparents, my great grandparents, my dad, my uncles, my cousins, we've been like, we're a mezcal family. And that's in part because my family is from Matatlan, which is, I think if you know anyone from Matatlan, I'm sure it's the same thing. I'm not like, you know, one of a kind. It's all of us have families of mezcal makers, you know, in our family, if you're from that town or in different, you know, parts of Oaxaca. And my dad actually was a mezcal maker and had a mezcal store. And when we lived in Oaxaca, and he let that go when we moved here, he just, you know, he just gave it up. And, you know, we never really took that back. We don't have a mezcal brand. I consulted in a wonderful bar in Vegas called Mama Rabbit a couple years ago, which was so much fun to do. And like, open a bar in Vegas was like a whole other experience of its own. And that was some fun times, man. No, we don't have a mezcal brand, but I think I'm a champion of mezcal, like in general. Like I think I'm a champion of the category, not a specific brand. I think, you know, there's so much to be said still about mezcal, and I know there's so much. I mean, that we can have an entire episode just talking about the dichotomies of what that's like right now. But I think, you know, the idea that people, like in my dream, like what I love to hear, again, I go back to like Italy and in Europe, the way that they got to people to take wine trips and make it like, and just tell people the story of like, oh, I'm going to go to, you know, Champagne and like fall in love in France. Like I want people to be like, I'm going to go to Oaxaca and fall in love in Oaxaca and like drink mezcal and like learn the way it's made. Because I think that like when people start doing that, that's really when someone's culture really evolves and people are able to put the value it really deserves, right? And I think that, for me, more than anything, it's just really bringing value to our people, bringing value to our culture, and not cheapening it, you know, and not making, not people think like, oh, well, I'm just going to go to Oaxaca and like get a deal. Like, no, this is work from people.
And I think our audience needs to understand that, you know, mezcal is a predecessor to tequila, you know? I mean, indigenous people have been making mezcal for millennia, and all tequila is mezcal, but not all tequila is mezcal. Or did I say the same thing? I said all tequila is mezcal, but not all tequila is mezcal. You know what I mean?
All tequila, yeah. All tequila is mezcal, but not all mezcal is tequila.
Thank you very much. And it's just, it's wonderful in the way that it's made, the artisanal way of fire roasting the piñas. It really, I think, apart from mole, I think defines Oaxaca in such a strong way. Can you, ladies, would you argue as far as contributions culturally? I mean, we have Monto Alban, but you know what I'm saying? But you know, I mean, you know, they filmed, what was the movie?
Oh, yes. I'm blanking out right now, but it's like
Nacho Libre.
Nacho Libre, yes, they did film it in Oaxaca.
So anyway.
No, but there's, you know, what makes Oaxaca so beautiful are all the traditions. You know, when you were talking about people taking trips to Oaxaca, I was going to ask you, are you planning on doing that or starting a business of taking people to Oaxaca?
I love taking people to Oaxaca. Before, you know, 2020, I used to go to Oaxaca maybe like 4 or 5 times a year. And I would always take a friend. My last trip to Oaxaca was actually with John and Vinny and my friend Ellen. And we had like, they're two chefs and we had like the best time. And that was back in October. And we actually started, we have a little home. We have 2 little homes in Oaxaca that we wanted to open up to friends. And, you know, we had this whole plan that was put on hold. But yeah, I think in the future I would love to. I mean, I love hosting people. Like, I think it's not even a Oaxacan thing. It's more like a Latino thing, right? It's like you love hosting people. You like people having come over and like drinking and eating and singing and dancing and having fun and sharing, you know, a little bit about who you are. Like, I just absolutely love doing that. And I would love to take Aaron to Oaxaca sometime, and you too, Sarela, just hang out. And I don't know. I don't think I can hang with Aaron, actually. Maybe you and Sarela, maybe you and I can go.
Man, I don't know where this bad reputation came from. But look, here's the deal. I'm a man that enjoys life, and sometimes I'm overserved, okay? And that's basically the heart of it. But, you know, we have a lot of friends in Oaxaca. Obviously, Alejandro Ruiz from Casa Oaxaca, and then
And Rodolfo Castellanos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then our good friend, you know, our good buddy from Houston, who has a beautiful place. I don't know if it's still open. It's called Origins.
Rodolfo.
Yeah.
Rodolfo Castellanos.
I know, but he's also partners with my compa. What's his name? And his name's
Emilio. Yeah, Houston.
Hugo from Hugo Ortega.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugo Ortega from Houston has something to do with that. So Hugo, great Mexican ambassador from Houston.
Yep. Yeah, I met Hugo when we were in Oaxaca together in October, actually, I think. He was there and I met him. What a wonderful man. Just so smart and so just, I always look up to people who have like multiple restaurants because, I mean, I only have one. And just when I meet people who have like, you know, several at the same time and different, you know, in so many of our operations, like I'm just in awe of, I was trying to learn as much as I can from them.
Well, let me tell you, honey, I've had multiple restaurants. It ain't that fun. Okay. So just be happy with it. Okay.
It's more good. Of a pain I'm in good. The ass. I'm good. I don't, I'm good. You know, I'm good.
Totally.
I actually rented a house 2 years ago and invited my friends to come for a week. Because, you know, when you see your friends here in New York or whatever, you see them for a dinner or a party, and then you don't see them again. So you don't really get to be with them. So in Oaxaca, and since it's hard for me to walk now and stuff, they would go sightseeing all day, and I would cook for them all day long. And then they would
wonderful.
Come.
You can cook for me any day. I would love to be in the kitchen with you one day and just maybe make mole or just make some carne asada, some salsa, some like...
No. I love the food of the Isthmus.
Let's talk a little bit about that because Bricia is a force of nature. This woman will tell you what time it is. So that's why as a Mexican man, I'm so happy to be sitting back here and just watching you guys rock and roll. But what is it about, especially the Isthmus, where the Zapotec culture is matriarchal? Women run the mercados in that particular part of Oaxaca. Let's talk a little bit about that. I think it's interesting for because, you know, Mexican culture is so considered very machismo, but it's really not the case.
Well, it's the first place, it's not a true matriarchy because they cannot inherit property. So it's just a matriarchy of convenience. The men go out to the fields at 4 o'clock in the morning and the women go into the markets. And they're very, you know, they're very careful about the money and they're very careful about the traditions. And, you know, they can be very rude, some of those women. And one of them said to the other one, ¡Cállate! ¿Que no sabes que el turista es el amigo del pueblo? Shut up, don't talk to her like that. Don't you know that the tourist is a friend of the people? So anyway, so they're very, very, very assertive.
Yeah,
and I love
and
it.
And the women like to drink mezcal, and they're very boisterous and kind of big ladies, and you can't tell them what to do, and it's pretty neat.
And they inhabit a chair.
I love going to an Isthmus party because all the women are dancing with each other, drinking beer. And by the way, in the Isthmus, you drink beer like water. Like I don't even understand like the like even the logical because it's so hot and so humid, and it's the hottest, most humid place in Oaxaca. But when you go to someone's home or you go to a party, you actually bring like a carton of beer with you. That's like the thing to do when you go to these like parties in the Isthmus, a comparsa it's called. Like you see these women in these wonderful, just beautiful, elegant outfits, black with the colored embroidered flowers, and they're all dancing with each other, having fun. And then the dudes are just like on the side, sitting like on the sideline. And it's true. So, I mean, it's like I think it's a matriarchal society. I think that really women are the champions of Oaxaca. I think even in the past 10 years, there's been so much focus on just honoring them and honoring their contribution to our culture. I mean, these are women who hold an entire culture just on two hands, you know, that by cooking and by keeping these traditions alive, they're keeping an entire culture alive. And it's really up to them. And they're really the ones who run everything, who run the culture, and who run Oaxaca in general. I mean, it is why people go want to visit. It's because of the tradition these women have been able to keep alive. And I just, when you sit down with just like these matriarcas, these beautiful, just boisterous women who just are not there. And then I say like they're loud. They're just so full of life.
Assertive.
And they don't care. And like, they're in the amigas? Markets. They're selling like they'll be selling chiles. Yeah. They'll have their boob out, feeding their children. Like they'll take your money. They'll give you change. Yeah. Like they're just doing life unapologetically, and I just like love that, you know.
And I think the next cover of your book should be "Taking Care of Culture with Two Hands." I think that's a beautiful title, by the way.
Aww.
Keeping Culture with Two Hands. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, so, thanks, Aaron.
Just for you, you know, to think about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, with a chichi out.
Yes, with the chichi out.
All right. So, yeah, with the chichi out.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
So anyway, do you know the other meaning of the name Guelaguetza, or the original name, the original meaning?
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many different meanings of Guelaguetza. For us, I mean, Guelaguetza is obviously a tradition, right? It's like, it's almost like a bartering system in a way. Like, you give and you receive, and one cannot live without the other. My mom actually has her Guelaguetza book, and you can see a picture of it in her cookbook. She has a picture of my grandma's Guelaguetza book, where it would say like so-and-so came, like so-and-so got married and we owe him, you know, or Guelaguetza was 2 sacks of beans. And it has like a little thing that says pagado on it, which means that, you know, the other person, you know, came and gave it back. So it's really about just like living in community, this idea of living in community with one another. And I think that's just absolutely beautiful. And I think like really is the essence of Guelaguetza, like this, it's more like a spirit. It's hard to define it as a word in a dictionary. I think it's just the spirit of living in community.
Yeah, well, the meaning I learned is that favors are owed. Let's say somebody helps with a funeral and their son wants to build a house, so you go pay it that way. And these favors are inherited. So if somebody dies and they own the Guelaguetza, they still have to pay.
Yeah, my mom gets people get to be like, oh, es que su la Guelaguetza de su mamá. My grandma's been, you know, she's passed away for over 20 years now, and people still come and say that. But I think it's just about more, it's not about like, I think it's less about favors being owed more than people living in community, you know, more about people kind of like being there for one another.
Who are you more like, your grandmother or your mother or your father?
Oh my gosh, that is a deep question, Sarayla. Who am I more like? I mean, I think that if you ask anyone, they would just say like, oh, you're just like your dad. Just because my dad's entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, just because of who he is as a person. But I want to say there's a lot of my mom in me, especially in the creative side. My mom is so creative and, you know, she's totally that mom that, you know, like sews and draws and, you know, cleans and she loves to clean. She loves to organize. And like, I love to clean and organize. My dad doesn't. So I think I have so much of that. And for my grandma, I think I have like her like angry look. I feel like all Oaxaqueñas have this like, I mean, this is going to sound a horrible name, but I call it like my resting bitch face. Like sometimes like I just sit there and I'm like, why do I look mad? I'm not mad. And I think I got that from my grandma.
Well, but you would seem to have gotten a really good combination of qualities. How about your daughter? She's very little. Does she look like you?
Ah, she's so small. I mean, she's 7 months old. I think she looks so much like her dad. My daughter's, her name is Agustina, and I actually named her after my mom's grandma, who taught my mom how to cook. I always like just when I was pregnant, my husband was talking to me about that and asked me and said, wow, like, who taught your mom how to cook? And my mom said, you know, my grandma. And then my mom's grandma, so my great grandma. And my husband brought up something so profound to me. He said, you know, it's so crazy how this one woman who you never met, she obviously knew that, you know, her grandchildren were going to have children, but how much impact this woman had in your life.
Are you covering that in your podcast on parenting?
Yeah, yeah. Just like how much impact this woman, like three generations back, had in my life today. You know, like this woman who took the time to teach my mom how to cook, and therefore like now I get to have this wonderful life all around food. So it was really like an homage to her. That's why I named my daughter Agustina.
So you must be very proud of what you've accomplished. I mean, we're certainly proud of you as a Mexican woman, and I admire you greatly for everything you do. And you know, it's wonderful that you're expanding all your talents and doing this wonderful service to Mexico and Oaxaca.
Aw, thank you, Sarala. I really appreciate you saying. It means so much coming from you, matriarch yourself, and all that you've accomplished, and, you know, paving the way for so many women behind you. And, you know, there's no Bricias and no other without Sarelas out there. So thank you for being, you know, a lot, you know, a first in many instances.
Yeah, well, we're going to be wrapping up soon, but I want to make sure that we plug all your projects. I love the way you have that in there. You follow me on Instagram here. You know, listen to my podcast there. You're a master at merchandising yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. And again, I just do it because I just want people to really value themselves as people. I think a lot of women who look like us, a lot of little girls, I want them to grow up really knowing their value, their worth, knowing that their culture is worth so much more than 99 cents taco, that they are, you know, they're worth $1 million. Like there's actually our culture is priceless. So for them to just really value who they are, I think in terms can really change an entire generation of women for them. Cause that translates into really valuing yourself in all aspects of life.
I know. I had the same kind of mother. Amárrate un huevo, mijita. Make some balls. Don't tell me you can't do it. You know, just do it. And that's the way I brought my boys up too. They're not women, but they were taught by a woman. But anyway, so we're going to talk about your mail order service, your micheladas, and your podcast. What is the name of the podcast?
My podcast is called Super Mamas. You can, you know, download it everywhere, Spotify, iTunes, wherever, you know, you can, wherever you listen to your podcast. And I host that with my sister, and we talk all things about motherhood and, you know, running a business. And we have incredible women that we interview on a weekly basis who are doing, you know, wonderful things and incredible things in life. It's so fun to be able to do that with my sister.
Well, that's great. Well, anyway, you're someone to admire, and it's wonderful to have you here and meet you and be able to talk about all your accomplishments. And I look forward to meeting you in person next time I'm in LA.
Same, I'm sure very soon. Take care.
Thank you, Sonia. Bye-bye, darling.
Cooking in Mexican from A to Z is powered by Simple Cast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without your support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.